We've been studying the book of Psalms for a few weeks now, and the idea is that we're emotional people. We have a mind and an intellect and a will, and we know that we're supposed to make plans with our minds and we're supposed to govern our will, but then the fact of the matter is that sometimes we just feel stuff and our feelings happen to us. And the question is, as people of faith, how are we supposed to process our feelings when stuff happens? And the book of Psalms has been tremendously helpful for us in this conversation. And we identified last week that if you were to look at the majority of the Psalter, the majority of the book of Psalms, the Hebrew word is Hallel, the book of praises. If you were to look at the majority of the praises in the book of Psalms, about half of them or so are complaints, which makes us feel so good. It kind of makes us feel like, you know, God understands us when we turn to the book of Psalms and we realize that half of the Psalms, half of these praise prayers, half of these Hallel songs is someone complaining about something. And we're like, that's helpful. Like, I don't always want to be complaining, but it's nice to know that God gets me because not every day is sunny and 70, right? Not every day is sunny and 70. And so the book of Psalms gets us, and that's been a tremendous encouragement. And last week, we took a look at the psalmist who's crying out to the Lord. He had a problem, and then we saw that he made a petition to God, do something for me that only you can do. And then he gave a praise. He gave an anticipatory praise. He made a decision of faith that even though I haven't seen the thing happen, and even though I still feel like my life is terrible, because of how I've seen you work in my past, and because of how I've seen you work in other people's lives, I'm going to praise you. And we just see that God just works so powerfully when his people humble themselves and pray in that way. They have a problem, they make a petition, and then they praise, even though life is still a little difficult, decision of faith. And we took a look at that last week. We're going to take a look this week at one of the most unique psalms in the book of Psalms. And it's exactly what we talked about last week, except it's going to be tied into very personally with the life of Jesus Christ himself. That's where we're going this morning. Because here's the power of songs. What we've found, I've had this experience, and you've had this experience as well, that there are certain moments of our lives that are linked with music, that are linked with melodies. So, for instance, as a young man growing up here in Preston, I was a very young boy. The summers were long, they were boring. I didn't feel like I was too young to ride my bike anywhere, and so I just kind of felt trapped on the property. And one summer day just typifies how boring my summers were as a boy and how endless they seemed. We had this little guitar with plastic strings, and this would have been early to mid to late 70s. And we had the Simon and Garfunkel record, and it had Drop Off the Keeley, Make a New Plan, Stan. The old people. We all just nodded together, yeah. And I loved that song. I just loved it. It was easy to memorize. And so I set up the record player, and I pointed the speakers out the front window, and I got it going as loud as I could get it going. And then I went out. I didn't know how to play guitar, but I was bored. Went out and sat on the front fence and, like, tried to pick out the melody of that song. And now, and I still can't play that song. But when I think of my long, lonely, hot summers, that memory is linked with that melody. You see what I'm saying? There are other melodies that are like that too. You know, our wedding days. If you had a special song at your wedding, we had a Stephen Curtis Chapman song. Whenever I hear that song, it's linked with that melody is linked with that memory, and it's powerful. I hear that song, and a part of me is back on my wedding day when Benaiah was born. There was a song. Was it Creed or somebody? One of these guys with a throaty, gravelly voice, late 90s. He sang a song welcoming his son into the world. What is that song? Arms Wide Open. Benaiah was born right when that song came out. Brand new dad. So when I hear, with arms wide open, I remember him as an infant. That melody is linked to that memory for me. It's very, the melody of a moment. Riding down the highway, any one of these songs come on, I'm brought back to my long, hot, boring summers. I'm brought back to doing dishes with my mom by the sink because we used to sing little goofy camp songs. I'm brought back to my wedding day, the melody of a moment. I'm brought back to the birth of my children, the melody of a moment. This is what the book of Psalms is meant to be for the people of God. They're the melodies of a series of moments. that when we are experiencing different things, and sometimes they're praises, sometimes they're complaints, but the idea is that they're the melody of a moment. Now, in Jesus' life, if you follow his life through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, through the Gospels, the account of Jesus Christ, his birth, his life, his death, burial, and resurrection, there are 24 times in the New Testament where Jesus clearly has a melody of a moment linked to the book of Psalms. And then there's 24 other times where it's more of a general reference to the book of Psalms. So there's about almost 50 times in the New Testament where Jesus has the melody of the moment, and he's referencing a song, a hallel, a praise song, and he'll only say a little bit of it, or he'll only allude to it, but he's talking about the melody of a moment, and his listeners then are able to join in with him in that moment because they too know the song. If you had a son in the late 90s, that song by Creed probably means something to you too. I'm not the only one that was moved by that song. And there's many, many other examples. And so we see Jesus modeling this in the New Testament. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you can turn to Psalm chapter 22, I want to show you this because it's very, very powerful. And it's a great encouragement to us as people of faith to know that when the theme of this series, the idea of this series is personal praise. If we come into this place and we just sing songs and read scripture in kind of a rote or memorized way, it's almost like you could be reciting the Boy Scout Creed. It doesn't really make a difference in our lives. But if our praises are personal, then we're actually worshiping God and seeing him work in our lives. And so the idea is using the book of Psalms as personal praise, it doesn't get more personal than what we're about to see here. And we're going to see it modeled in the life of Jesus Christ. This is a complaint psalm. This is Jesus complaining. Have you ever had that thought? Like, you know how it is when you're mad at God or you're upset at God or something is happening that you say to yourself, if I was God, there wouldn't be mosquitoes, right? If I was God, this wouldn't have happened or this would be different. Those are complaint psalms. Those are complaint psalms. And this is Jesus framing a complaint to his Father, and he's using a melody that his listeners would understand because you and I know it as Hallel 22 or Psalm 22. So I'm going to go through this. It's a longer psalm. I'm going to go through quickly. I'm going to actually skip a few verses here and there just for the sake of time. But I think we're going to see very powerfully how Jesus made this melody personal. And it's very powerful, and it's a huge encouragement this morning as we talk about matching the melody of Scripture with our own lives, using the psalms and other aspects of Scripture in our own lives, whether we're experiencing a time of complaint or a time of praise, but making God's melody our own. So let's jump into this. It starts with this phrase. You've probably heard this, even if you're not a Christian or if you've never read the Bible. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, if you just take a look at that phrase and you think about the fact that I've set this up as this is a song that Jesus is singing for himself, right there, you would probably say, of all the psalms in the book of Psalms, 150 of them, you could probably make the case that this is not a psalm that Jesus is going to take personally just from the opening line. How is it possible for God to forsake Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How can Jesus Christ be forsaken? I want to just take a moment here and land on this for just a second, just to be an encouragement to you that if Jesus felt this way, and we're going to prove that he felt this way, then that should kind of make us feel better when it's not sunny and 70, right? When it's not sunny and 70. There's no sin. I guess this is what I'm saying. There's no sin in making an honest complaint to God. There's no sin in having the idea that there's things about your life that don't feel just, that don't feel right, that it's either the effects of sin or poor decision-making or circumstances or consequences beyond our control. There's no sin there. This is where the people of faith shine, because we know what to do with these situations as Jesus is going to model. So of all the things that the psalmist could say that could probably not be attributed to Jesus Christ, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from my deliverance and from my words of groaning? But yet, here's what we find. I assigned some verses to some guys ahead of time. Matthew 27, verse 46. If you've got that verse, would you just stand up and read it in a nice, loud, use your outdoor voice.
"Eloi, Eloi,
Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he starts to hum a song. He starts to sing a song. He starts to recite a song. It's triggers. Just like we were talking about earlier, we all have these songs where we just hear a line from the song, and we're back on our wedding day, the birth of a child, we're with our family, we're thinking of long, hot summer days. Jesus is on the cross, and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's humming a song. And he wants his listeners to feel and think about all the things we're about ready to feel and think right now, because he's made this melody his own. From the cross, he is making this melody his own, and he feels forsaken. During the resolve part of the song, we're going to find out why he feels this way and what the Lord is going to do with it. But for now, let's just live with a little bit of tension and understand that this is how Jesus felt, and we can prove it because it's his dying words, right? Guys that are dying don't pull any punches. Guys that are dying aren't messing around. Guys that are dying, they're not telling jokes. They're speaking from the core of their being. And right when Jesus was hanging on the cross, this was the melody. This was the song that he began to sing, that he made this melody his own during his last moments. And you can see some of the other verses that are there. Let's move on to the next slide. It's verses 3-5. And Jesus is singing, not out loud now, but in his mind. He knows this psalm. This is where his heart is going. He's processing his separation from God this way. He states it very clearly. I feel forsaken. But then he begins to say, but you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you rescued them. They cried to you and were set free. They trusted in you and were not disgraced. He's strengthening his faith, right? We took a look at this last week. Even when we're not feeling close to God right now, we can't deny the facts of how God has moved at different times with different people in different places. And if we're really being honest with ourselves, we can identify how God has been moving in our life too. So even though we feel abandoned by God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Very quickly, Jesus is quick to remind himself, as we ought to be quick to remind ourselves, that we have seen God move powerfully in our lives and in the lives of others. Verses 6-8. Again, words that you would never think you would ever hear our Savior say, but I'm a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by people. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads. And in quotes, right? This is like it's a sarcastic statement. He relies on the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let the Lord deliver him, since he takes pleasure in him. Somebody has Matthew chapter 27, verses 41-43.
So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, he saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the king of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God.
That is amazing. Jesus is making this melody his own. He's watching the events of this song play out in front of him as he is on the cross. And he begins, he acknowledges this, that he is making this melody his own by singing the first line of the song, by stating, my God, so that everyone can hear. It's recorded in Scripture. Why have you forsaken me? He quickly moves to the fact that I have seen God move. I'm hanging here now. Life is terrible now. Things are not the way that, you know, and nobody wants to be me right now, but I have seen God move powerfully. Right now, people are scorning me. People are mocking me, and it feels like I'm worthless. It feels like I'm a creature of the ground. This is how I'm being treated right now. This is the emotions and the thoughts and the ideas of Jesus as he has made this melody of Psalm 22 his own. Mocked and despised by people. Moves on again through verses 9-11. He goes on again. It's point and counterpoint almost as we're moving through this song, Jesus' thoughts and ideas as he's on the cross. You took me from the womb, making me secure while at my mother's breast. I was given over to you at birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Do not be far from me because distress is near and there is no one to help. We've talked about this a number of times through this series. The trigger word in this particular psalm verse doesn't go into the New Testament, but it goes into another song. This song is actually referring to another song, and it's song Psalm 139, and we've talked about this a number of times, that in my mother's womb, that's the trigger word, he says it twice in this passage right here, right? It's supposed to make you think of the other time it appears in a different song, a different psalm. In my mother's womb, I was fearfully and wonderfully made. If I could count the number of sand by the seashore, if I could weigh the sand by the seashore, then I would have an idea of the weight of your thoughts. Remember, we've talked about this a number of times. This song is referencing another song. So it's point and counterpoint. I feel like I'm a creature of the ground. I feel like I'm being mocked and despised by everybody because I am, but from the time I was a child, even before I was born, you had thoughts and plan and love for me. And this is a part of this song. Jesus on the cross, making the melody his own, going through something that none of us could imagine. He's singing to himself the ideas and the thoughts of this psalm to try and make sense of the fact that, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so we see that Jesus understands that he is precious to God. And again, the song is referencing another song that clarifies what he means when he uses that word womb twice. It's supposed to make you think of the other time it shows up in that entire psalm. Continuing here in verse 12, he is describing, the psalmist is describing, and Jesus is making this melody his own, his difficult situation. He begins to refer to different animals right here. Many bulls surround me, strong ones of Bashan encircle me. They open their mouths against me, lions mauling and roaring. The idea of animals in the scripture is power without morality, power without conscience, unrestrained power, power that doesn't make sense. He goes on to say, my strength is dried up like baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You put me into the dust of death. One of you guys has John chapter 19, verse 28. This is the scripture that Jesus knew was going to be fulfilled about he's making Psalm 22 this his own melody. And so on the cross, he's thirsty. He's thinking his way through this psalm. And the psalmist writes, my strength is dried up like baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You put me into the dust of death. And so Jesus, in order to fulfill scripture, says, I thirst. And Matthew records it. Moving on, verse 16, for dogs have surrounded me, a gang of evildoers has closed in on me, they pierced my hands and my feet. Let's take a look at John chapter 20, verse 27.
Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and observe my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be an unbeliever, but a believer.
Because Thomas had said, just in the verse or two prior to this, unless I see the holes in his hands, and unless I see the holes in his feet, and unless I place my hands in his side where they pierced him with a spear, I'm not going to believe that Jesus came back from the dead. And Jesus says, Thomas, place your hand in my side. See here, my hands and my feet. This melody was his own. They pierced my hands and my feet. Verse 17, I can count all my bones. People look and stare at me. They divided my garments amongst themselves, and they cast lots for my clothing. Matthew chapter 27, verse 35. Who's got that one? Jesus had made this melody his own, even in ways that he had no control over, right? At this point, he was dead. His physical body was dead. But this psalm, this melody, so perfectly mirrors his experience on the cross that these words are coming true, that the soldiers gambled for his clothes, just like we see here in this verse, verse 18. Verse 19 through 21 is a request, but you, Lord, don't be far away. My strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my only life from the power of these dogs. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild ox. Three different animals, three different examples of power that is not being restrained, power that is operating without any kind of a moral guidance or conscience. There's a declaration in verse 22 through 26. I'm just going to summarize it with the first verse in this part of the psalm. which is verse 22. I will proclaim your name to my brothers. I will praise you in the congregation. He's dying on the cross, but his anticipatory praise is that I will praise the Lord with my brothers in the congregation, in the assembly of the saints. He's made this melody his own. Let's move on to the conclusion of this particular psalm. Verse 27 states, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations will bow down before you. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 19.
And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And so we see in this verse that Jesus' final command to his disciples is going back to this song, and that all the families of the earth are going to worship. All the families of the earth are going to bow down. Therefore, guys, disciples, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. And then finally, at the conclusion of this psalm, they will come and tell a people yet to be born about his righteousness. And then there's a separation in this clause, and it concludes with what he has done. And the final verse we'll look at this morning from the New Testament is John chapter 19, verse 30.
When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
The idea here is that the final words of Jesus on the cross are very similar, the same idea as the final words of Psalm 22. Because here the psalmist is saying that people will come and tell a people yet to be born about the righteousness of the Lord, about the righteousness of the Almighty, what he has done. And Jesus says, it is finished. Now we have something to go and preach to the whole world about. This psalm is unique. This psalm is different. And it is a beautiful illustration of how Jesus models. He begins with a cry of distress, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it ends with a call to share the good news about the salvation made possible by Jesus Christ on the cross with the whole world. You couldn't be further apart from where you started. And yet you see the process that Jesus goes through while he's hanging on the cross and as he makes this melody his own, and he's reciting the promises and the power of God to himself while also recognizing the distress and the difficulty of his situation. This is pretty cool. This is pretty powerful where Jesus has modeled making this melody his own. And so the idea this morning is that we as Christians are called to match God's melody. So this is the kind of thing that you would think would happen in Bible college, what I'm about to share with you. I was 17 years old and I was off at Moody Bible Institute, and it was my first semester there. Didn't know anybody at the school, had never lived in a city in my life. My dorm had 19 floors on it, right? It's a high rise. And so a lot of things were new, and I was in the process of trying to find my people. That's what college is kind of about. High school, they're forced on you, right? College or in the military or in your career, you have an opportunity to kind of find your people. And then hopefully in that process, you find your person and you marry them, right? And that's kind of the way it's supposed to go. And so I was going through this process of finding my people, didn't know anybody, 17 years old. And I was a little bit early for one of my classes, and I walked into this class, and there was this kid there that I had seen a few times, didn't know his name, didn't know anything about him. He was kind of funny looking. He was a little bit bigger than me, and he had fuzzy red hair, right? And he didn't know I had walked into the room. And we're both a little bit early for this class. And he's whistling a song. He's whistling the song. It's a song from Vacation Bible School, right? It's a melody that I had linked in my mind with Vacation Bible School. And there comes a part in the song. He's not singing the words, but I know the words. He knows the words. He still doesn't know I'm there. And he's just whistling to himself, right? And there's a part in the little VBS song where it goes, and then it's supposed to go. So it came to that part, and he went, and I went, and he turned around and looked at me, because I had matched his melody. And he's looking at me, and I'm looking, like, this is the kind of thing you think happens at Bible college, like, that this is what it's all about. It was weird. It was strange. It was a moment. Didn't know this kid from Adam. I mean, he was just taller than me with fuzzy red hair, right? And so we whistle the rest of the song together. Like, that's why you send your children to Bible college, right? To whistle, like, that's money well spent right there. Like, okay. So I'm very aware that this is weird, right? It was weird to me, but my melody matched his. And even though we're kind of smiling and laughing, we managed to whistle the rest of the song together. And from that moment, we were friends. And we had so many memories together, so many adventures together. He sang with me in my wedding. I was in his wedding. It started because our melodies matched. There was a song that meant something to him as a kid, and just in a quiet moment, he thought he was alone. He started encouraging himself. He was at college for the first time, too. So he's whistling the song, and then the last thing happens that he ever think would happen is some other joker walks in and knows the same melody and then whistles it with him. Like, how weird is that? And a friendship was kindled that, you know, life has brought us to different parts of the country, and we don't get to hang out much anymore, but he's one of those friends that if you were to call me up today, we'd pick up right where we left off, even if it was, because we've had so many adventures together, so many memories together, some good ones and some bad ones, and it began because the melodies matched. Melodies matched. And so this morning you might feel, you know, I'm new to church, I'm new to faith, and I absolutely understand what you're talking about, feeling abandoned by God. There's an area in my life where I feel that way, but I don't have a melody to sing. I don't feel like God's melody matches any part of my life at all. I would encourage you this morning to take some scripture, and it might feel a little weird at first, but to share that scripture with the Lord, even if it's starting with where Jesus started, my God, why have you forsaken me? And begin to sing or pray your way through a song. It could be Psalm 22. Even if you don't feel like you're a person of faith, I would encourage you to begin there this morning and match that melody with the melody that God is already singing and watch what he does. And of course, for those of us who are people of faith, we have these moments where we feel that God has abandoned us, and then we add guilt on top of that abandonment because we feel like we shouldn't feel that way. At least people who aren't Christians don't have guilt about feeling abandoned by God, right? They don't know any better. But for those of us who are people of faith, when we feel abandoned by God, we add our own guilt on top of that abandonment. And so it's powerful for us this morning to match our melody with the one that God has given us in the book of Psalms, in the same way that Jesus, in the darkest moment of his life, allowed his heart to stay soft towards God, and it turns into the Great Commission. Did you see that? That verse that Jeremy had memorized, that he recited, Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore into all the world, baptizing and making disciples of all the nations." The reason he had it memorized is because it's called the Great Commission. Jesus turned through prayer and humility before God. My God, why have you forsaken me? People are staring at me. They're gambling for my clothes. They're piercing my body. It turns into the Great Commission. That's a powerful word for people of faith because it is finished. God will be honored and glorified on the earth, and we can take comfort in that this morning. So whether you're brand new to the faith or you're not a Christian, or you're a Christian and you're not only carrying around separation from God, but also the guilt that comes with that, I would encourage you to spend a moment and pray this morning. We're going to sing, we're going to stand, we're going to sing. You can pray where you're standing if it would be encouragement to you to take a little walk of faith as a physical expression of a decision that you've made in your mind, whether for salvation or to strengthen your faith again. Come down forward. I'd be happy to pray with you. You can pray by yourself or grab a friend or a loved one and pray with them. That's how we're going to conclude our time together this morning. We're going to put into practice what we see here. We're going to make God's melody our melody. We're going to make that melody our melody. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll conclude our time together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to reflect on Psalm 22. We would have never thought that Jesus would feel distant from you. Well, yeah, we kind of feel that way all the time, and it's powerful when we recognize that we don't always have to feel this way, that you can use even our feelings of abandonment to turn them into something called the Great Commission, where you're honored and glorified in our community. We have an opportunity to honor you in our community, but maybe we don't feel like representing you. Father, this morning, would you do a work of healing as we match our melody to yours? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.